Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody. It's time for regime change at the RNC. Who should run the RNC, and why hasn't it happened? And why do professional sports receive more accountability than the RNC? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member at charliekirk.com, where you can listen to all of our episodes advertiser-free. That's charliekirk.com. And get involved with the most important organization in the country, tpusa.com. tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is the hardest working organization. And get your tickets to our upcoming event, AmericaFestAmFest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Yesterday was election day in many parts of the country, and it did not go well. Ohio, conservative state, voted to legalize weed. Ohio overwhelmingly voted to enshrine abortion in the Constitution. Virginia flipped the state house in a blow to Glenn Youngkin. Kentucky reelected a Democrat governor. And that's just a taste, a sampling of what was a very, very disappointing night. Now, the media and lots of conservatives saying, well, this is 100% because of the abortion issue. It plays a role, no doubt. We got to figure this out. I'm as pro-life as it gets. I do not back away from the topic or the issue. It plays a role. But first, before we even get into that, because that's just a shallow take, that these are people that have always wanted us to retreat from the life issue. And they don't actually want to talk about some of the most obvious reasons why we are losing. It's because we have a loser running the RNC. Now, I'll be very honest with you. I was so disappointed by the lack of conservative grassroots energy when I went to Dana Point back in January. Remember, we were right there. I went to the RNC meeting. We shook the hands and we lobbied and we failed. We tried to get Harmeet Dillon as chair. I was there at the RNC meeting. And honestly, there wasn't a massive agreement in conservative media circles. They said, oh, you know, yeah, Ron has got to go. There were some people here or there. They didn't realize the significance of what was going on at the RNC. Your RNC state committeemen, your RNC state party chairs, they do not care like you care. They don't care when we lose. They say, you know what? They were telling me when I was in Dana Point, oh, everything's fine. It was a great midterm election. Everything's just fine. Ron is doing a great job. And so you kept a loser and a failure in charge of the RNC. And here we have another. Lost in 18, lost in 20, lost in 2022. And you might say, but Charlie, election was stolen. Okay, what has the RNC done to secure our elections then? What have they done to actually push for legislative reform and changes? You need winners. So let me ask you this. Why is it even remotely acceptable that a National Football League team, an NFL team, has far less tolerance for losing than the RNC? This last week, the Las Vegas Raiders fired their whole staff. Everybody. It cost them $85 million. But the owners of the Las Vegas Raiders, formerly the Oakland Raiders, said, we don't put up with losing around here. We're spending too much money. We're not going to put up with it. Boom. The defensive coordinator for the USC college football team under Lincoln Riley, boom. Fired him mid-season. Three losses in a row. We are not going to put up with that at USC. We're not going to put up with that at the Las Vegas Raiders. Why is it that in our conservative movement politics, we put up with losing time and time and time again. American sports has real accountability because they care about winning. We do not. We don't. We say, but Ron is such a nice person. Yeah, but she's a loser. Oh, but she's a nice person. She's really sweet. It's what I hear time and time again. We are not going to win in 2024 if the current leadership of the RNC remains, period. So where is the RNC right now? Are they crunching numbers and data? Are they doing press conferences of why they fell short in Virginia? Were they rallying the different tribes of grassroots groups, getting Bannon and Turning Point Action and the NRA and Moms for Liberty? Where are they? Oh, your RNC that raises hundreds of millions of dollars. Where are they? They're in Miami, Florida, hosting a debate with NBC News. Who in the RNC world thought it would be a good idea to host the debate the day after some rather consequential elections? By the way, we got slaughtered in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court race. We got slaughtered in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race earlier this year. Who at the RNC said, you know what? Let's have a debate that our frontrunner won't even show up with NBC News the day after a rather consequential election. It's not the most important election, but some of these were very important. What did the RNC do to actually move the ball forward? They were too busy hosting debates with NBC News, taking your money. By the way, many of you donate money to the RNC. You don't even realize it. We get these emails. Charlie, I don't donate to the RNC. I'm like, you might actually. You might have it on automatic withdrawal, automatic debit. Sometimes they mislead you because they'll have a nice person sign the email. Oh, I like that person. You give $10, $20. Very, very sneaky the whole way this thing operates. By the way, this is what the RNC is doing. They're going around to the second tier candidates, some I like Vivek, asking them what their pre and post debate meals are. This is your RNC. Just a little taste. While we are getting massacred in Virginia, we are getting slaughtered in Ohio. Play cut 98.
What's your pre-debate meal?
Enchiladas.
Post-debate meal?
Enchiladas.
Usually has french fries in it.
Well, if I had my choice, I'd have a McDonald's, Big Macs, and french fries, but I typically have salmon and some asparagus.
Pre-debate, you don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart.
And after the debate, are you ravenous? Are you like digging into a burger? Or what are you doing after the debate?
We'll let her rip.
What about post-debate meal?
Bubbles. Champagne.
If I'm picking the restaurant after the debate, that's bad. Like, I should have people who should be able to pick that and just put me in the car and tell me where to go.
That's your RNC. It's all fun, guys. They're in Miami living the high life. Wine and dine, baby. Lester Holt. Kristen Welker. You understand this is the way it operates, though. The RNC, who, by the way, circulated and publicized a hit piece against Charlie Kirk and Turning Point. They literally circulated via their RNC War Room email list a hit piece against us a couple weeks ago. They're more worried about trying to attack me and Turning Point because they don't like the fact that we call them out on their BS. Losers, they don't like that. Attack. They're more worried about attacking fellow Republicans and conservatives than winning a Kentucky governor's race. They're more worried about attacking me than helping Glenn Youngkin or whatever in the Virginia House of Delegates. Has the RNC called Scott Pressler back yet? Have they? Nope. By the way, it's not just me calling for Ronna to resign. She's number one trending on Twitter this morning. And I have to do this. I don't love doing it. We told you so. And you guys agreed. You guys were great. When I went to Dana Point, when I tried to do regime change with Tyler and Harmeet, there was a little remnant of us that tried to do it. And boy, the RNC viciously came after us. And one day I'll tell you all the stories. I can't do it today. What the RNC did to try to attack Turning Point and this program, literally this show, was morally reprehensible. I can't tell you the full story right now. They are so obsessed with us. They don't care. The RNC doesn't want to win. Where does anyone get the idea the RNC wants to win? They want power. They want graft. They want to stay in charge. They want the power of being a loser, controlled opposition. You understand? They feel really good about themselves because they get to be around NBC News. To them, that's a big deal. Deep down, they've always wanted to be accepted by Lester Holt and meet the press. And by the way, it also creates air covers that the media doesn't write bad articles about them. You see how this works? So instead of doing a debate with Bongino and Walsh or Shapiro or Megyn Kelly. Could you imagine a debate? If the RNC really wanted to do a debate, what up? Okay, if you had Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Bannon, and Bongino, hello? Instead of Lester Holt and Kristen Welker. Love Hugh Hewitt, glad he's involved. I exempt him from this. Hugh's always had my back. So this has to change immediately. And my advice publicly and privately is, President Trump, you have to call for the resignation of Rana immediately, or else you're not going to win next November, and they're going to throw you in federal prison. It's that simple. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. Don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. So I'm a Bears fan, grew up a Bears fan, and the owners of the Bears are very careful of how they spend money. They don't want to win as much as they live on the lifestyle of owning the Bears. God bless them, the McClaskey family. They've been around for quite a while. The owner's 100 years old, literally. 100 years old, Virginia Hallis McClaskey. The Hallises start, George Hallis started the Chicago Bears. But the Chicago Bears are very careful not to spend too much money. The Bears set the record in modern NFL history for most cap space unused. They just don't want to spend the money because the fans keep on showing up and they live the lifestyle. They fly private. They go to the owners' meetings. They're perfectly fine. Why would the Bears need to change? By the way, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL. They're still living on the glory of the 85 Bears, which was one of the best football teams ever assembled. I mean, there's only so many times you can kind of do the Super Bowl shuffle. That's still packed Soldier Field. But there isn't a sense of urgency from the ownership group of the Chicago Bears. Why would there be? It's no different than Rana and the RNC. They are comfortable losing. There's many different examples that can show this. And Rana McRomney, who is Mitt Romney's niece, has been in charge of the RNC for many years. And every time I do this, people say, but Charlie, she's just very sweet. I'm not indicting her character. She's always been very warm to me. She doesn't like me anymore, obviously, but she's a loser. Are we really going to keep on putting up with nice people that lose? What did the RNC do, if anything, to unite the grassroots groups and get the vote out? And how many times do we need to get the memo? It'd be one thing if Rana came out in August and said, the debates are done. Honestly, this is a waste of time. We'll do some internet forums on X. We're not going to do this stuff where we spend millions of dollars on debates. I'm going all in on grassroots stuff. It's going to be a tough November 23, but we're going to ramp up. I would have some compassion for that. The RNC is one piece of many, but it's a central hub. It's a central organizing principle because you literally carry the banner of the party. You have 163 voting members of every territory of every state. You are the kind of, you are the central organizing principle of the Republican Party. Instead, as a like throbbing middle finger to you, they are right now, as I do this broadcast, Are they doing some sort of autopsy diagnostic? Are they doing a press conference? They're doing a debate with NBC News tonight without the front runner. Totally unnecessary. Unnecessary. It's an insult. Why not do one? If you're going to do a debate, bring in Bannon, bring in Walsh, bring in Candace Owens. No, they don't want to do any of that because they're not one of us. It's insulting on so many different levels. And do you know what infuriates me? Is I get the thousands and thousands of emails from you at freedom@charliekirk.com. And you're prayerful. You're obedient. You work your tail off. You pay your taxes. You give $50 to this group and $20 to this group, praying it's going to make a difference. And then you see the opulence of the RNC. They're right now at 4- and 5-star hotels in Miami, courting moderate donors for a debate that should not exist, that should have been canceled, and the front runner is up 60 points. That's insulting. The Democrats are loving this, by the way. The Democrats are rolling over us on data, voter registration, grassroots activity. This morning, you know what we were doing this morning at Turning Point Action? Because I don't want to just be a complainer. I want to be a problem solver. By the way, I do have a remedy of who should run the RNC. I'll tell you that in a second. But this morning, I had a phone call with Tyler, who's going to join us later, as if I need another project with a hole in the head, like a hole in the head. We're opening up an office in Wisconsin. We're doing what we said we were going to do. You know how many offices the RNC has? Zero offices in Wisconsin. We have an office in Arizona. We're going to open up one in Wisconsin for ballot chasing. We're doing what we said we're going to do. By the way, with a micron of the budget, RNC raises $700 million. $700 million. Our political budget right now is between $10 to $15 million. Praise God we can raise that much. Praise God donors are stepping up and helping us. But the RNC raises $600 to $700 million. How many offices does the RNC have in Arizona? Zero. Wisconsin? Zero. Georgia? Zero. Simple question. Why does the RNC have an office in Washington, D.C.? Why don't they sell that building? Is it some sort of bylaw thing? They don't need an office in D.C. They're not a lobbying group. They're not a public interest group. They're not the Chamber of Commerce. Shouldn't they actually allocate their precious money? Because they're always like, well, we don't raise enough money. Okay, you guys own a $50 or $60 million building in Washington, D.C. Sell the building and spend all that money in office operations, ballot chasing, voter reg, election integrity in Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona. But they don't want to win. They want the prestige. They want the comfort. They want the selfies with Lester Holt. They want to take your money and go to Miami and say, look at us, we're hosting a debate with regime media, the very regime media that launched the Russia hoax and called Brett Kavanaugh a gang rapist. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Okay, several points here. Then I do want to touch on the abortion thing because there's some truth to that. It's not the whole story. And let me tell you, I'll get to that in a second. So first of all, who should run the RNC? Donald Trump is the most powerful person in American politics, Republican or Democrat. Especially the most, it's his Republican Party. Okay, this is not a debate tonight. This is airtime for NBC News so the RNC can do whatever they do. It's insulting. It's wrong. People should have mass resignations over this. Mass resignations. Tucker Carlson is the second most important and powerful person in the conservative movement. And just to add on to that, tonight is going to be this bash Trump rally brought to you by NBC News. The RNC did not have to do this. There's nothing in their bylaws that they have to do it. They voluntarily courted NBC News. Voluntarily. By the way, we, despite all of our differences in our acrimony, via an intermediary, we presented many different options for the RNC to have an actual grassroots debate. We even said we would spend money. We'd have Matt Walsh, Steve Bannon, Dan Bongino. You know, the actual people that the movement cares about, they want nothing to do with it. Nothing. Okay. So Donald Trump immediately needs to call for the resignation of Rana. Immediately. Now, the vote was back in January. Unfortunately, there just wasn't as much enthusiasm for the removal of Rana as I wish there would have been. There were a lot of people that were in Trump camp that were lobbying for Rana, that were saying Rana needs to stay. That's what I came up against in Dana Point. A lot of the RNC members said, but the Trump people are here saying that Rana needs to say. So in a lot of ways, Trump was neutral, if not helping Rana. It's still a mystery as to what was behind there. But he certainly wasn't behind Harmeet, which is too bad because Harmeet would have been doing a great job. But now it's very clear that Rana can't raise the money. The base doesn't want to give her money. Even big donors don't want to give her money. The fundraising totals of the RNC are abysmal. Big donors, who I talk to, have zero faith in the pattern of losing that we've seen. And it's not like it's first time. It's 2018, it's 2020, it's 2022. It's Wisconsin Supreme Court race. It's the Kansas ballot referendum. So you need a different face to be able to excite donors. That alone, a different face to be able to tell people, here's the plan, here's the vision. Salon.com, which is a communist rag, but the numbers speak for themselves. The GOP primary is wiping out the RNC's coffers. The fundraising has gone in the toilet. It doesn't have to be this way. If you had a RNC chair, who I will recommend, I'm going to put forward a solution, that spoke the language of the base, that was hardworking, that could communicate with donors, have a reasonable plan, do media that would excite people, but also make sure expectations are set of what the RNC can do and can't do, understands data, technology. Without getting deep into the campaign finance rules, the RNC needs to be a data operation and needs to be a small dollar donor operation because they can legally coordinate with state party committees and campaigns. I could bore you with all the FEC details behind that, super PACs and 527s can't, but that's just the way it is. The RNC has a role. In fact, this is why I went to Dana Point to try and make regime change happen because I saw coming ahead, and I wasn't the only one, Tyler, Harmeet Dillon, John Rich, many people, we saw a storm brewing like, huh, we're going to lose our civilization because we have a proven loser running the RNC with a cabal of losers, and I'm not okay losing my country. Let's go do something about it. The RNC's fundraising has so significantly slumped, the party is left with less than $12 million at their disposal. They had $80 million in the bank at the start of the 2022 midterm cycle, but that number has plummeted to $11 million, and not all of that is even accessible because it's in convention accounts and it's in these restricted money accounts. The RNC does not have the cash to be able to compete. So Donald Trump needs to say, Rana, we're done. I'm going to be the nominee. I'm not going to work with you. We need total, complete regime change. And by the way, do you think it's going to get better? Let's just say the primary settles down and, you know, Donald Trump wins the primary in February, March. You think all of a sudden donors are going to be like, you know, I have so much faith and enthusiasm. The RNC should be actively pushing people to get out of the race, not hosting debates that keep the primary going on longer and longer and longer. We need a reset. Las Vegas Raiders, fire their coach. Lincoln Riley, by the way, probably one of the worst defenses in the history of FBS. I kind of felt sorry for the guy. I was watching the Washington-USC game this last weekend. I love college football. It's one of my weaknesses. And they kept showing this poor guy. And Kirk Herbstreit is just relentless. He's like, do they even teach him how to tackle? I mean, I think they're giving up like 55 points a game, the USC defense was. So they fired him this week. So USC's alumni doesn't put up a losing. Fight on, right? They don't put up with it. But we do. And yeah, I don't need to remind you guys, the stakes of losing elections is far more important than losing college football games. Minorly more important. So what to do? Donald Trump should say, Rana, we're done. The recommendation is very simple. You need someone smart. You need someone tough. You need someone agile. You need someone that understands technology, someone that has run something big, someone that has presented himself as an interesting person where I think a lot of people want to continue to learn more about, Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek Ramaswamy would be an excellent RNC chair to come in with a mandate. Vivek, you want to be president one day? Right now, it's Trump's time. Show us what you got. Vivek could raise a ton of money. He ran a successful biotech company. He wants to win. Also, if Vivek is able to get Donald Trump elected as president, what a way, Vivek, to launch your political career into mass seriousness. He's run complex systems. He doesn't have any sort of patience with BS. He speaks the America First language. The guy has an unbelievable work ethic. He would be terrific. That's who you want to run the RNC, someone that is gritty, someone that can raise the capital, speak to both donors and the grassroots. He's incredibly charismatic. very authentic, has a great story. And also, I think a lot of you are like, could it get any worse than Rana? Vivek would raise the standard. He would run it as if like we have a goal deadline. We need to go. We need to go after this right now. By the way, I texted Vivek this morning. I said, I'm recommending you to run RNC chair. And he said, okay. He's like, you know, he's like, I'm running for president. You know, I said, I know. And I love you running for president. And he's doing a great job. He's advancing a lot of great ideas. But I think right now, Vivek running RNC chair, and by the way, I'm open to any ideas. You can email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Trump could get this done. Trump could call right now, Rana, say, we're done, resign. I'm not going to do any joint committees with you. By the way, it's the Trump campaign that then has to come with these Trump victory funds. It's very complicated the way the campaign finance stuff works. But Trump holds the cards here. Rana, resign. This is a joke. You're doing these debates. Miami, NBC News. By the way, if I was President Trump, just to be perfectly, you know how insulted I would be? NBC News, which is relentlessly smearing you and your family, that pushed the Russia hoax, that pushed all of the lies that we saw from Adam Schiff were peddled and subsidized by NBC. And before we go any further, let's just not forget that MSNBC is an adjunct and a sister network to NBC. So all that crap you see of Morning Mika and Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes, they're technically a separate network, but they share a building in 30 Rockefeller Place in New York, and it's all the same sort of incestuous culture. They share reporting. It's all the same sort of thing. And so we're supposed to sit here as the Republican Party in a time where our base is consuming information in ways so unique, different, and over the top. There's this massive new podcast empire out there that's exciting, not just podcasts, live streaming, radio. And we have to go hear our candidates go back and forth with Lester Holt. Vivek Ramaswamy wouldn't put up with that if he was RNC chair. It wouldn't happen. We need creative new thinking. We need fresh thinking. By the way, this would light up the base. You would see small dollar donations surge. Vivek would sell the building in Washington, D.C. Because I get asked that question all the time. You know, donors say, but Charlie, you know, what would you do differently? Very simple. Sell the D.C. building. You get tons of cash. There is no reason why the RNC should have a building in Washington, D.C. Sell the building. Number two, open up grassroots offices in Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia. Number three, make good with the base, a.k.a. get rid of Rana. Have someone the base will listen to, that will they will trust, and they will go to work. You know how many people in our audience, you guys, are saying, Charlie, why won't anyone put me to work? Why won't anyone put me to work? Because the RNC is too busy doing stuff with NBC News. And we saw the results of this yesterday. Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania. So we need a total reset. And I am trying to do my best to restrain the language here. What was right in January is right today. We are going to be demoralized and in this political abyss a year from today if the RNC stays in current management or hands. It's just the way it is. We need a seismic type shift. And you know what? Donald Trump has done these seismic shifts before. I'll never forget. Right after the convention, Donald Trump woke up one day and he said, Paul Manafort's no longer my campaign manager. And everyone thought Donald Trump's campaign in 2016 was in free fall. And who did he hire? Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway. And Bannon, to his credit, Bannon does not get the credit for this, by the way. And he doesn't even toot his own horn as well as he should, in my opinion. Because Bannon was one of the only people, and he golfed with Trump, and he said, you realize you can win the Rust Belt if you go after muscular class voters. Bannon deserves such credit for this. He was like the only voice to be like, go after it, populist, blue collar. And Trump was like, well, that's different than what all the other consultants are telling me. And Trump's secret weapon in 2016 was that nobody thought he could win. Trump's secret weapon in 2016 is many of the consultants stayed away from him and focused on other races because they thought it was a waste of time. He just kind of got to get it through the system. Like, what is this whole thing? They looked at Trump as dysentery. Get it out of the system. It's really disgusting. It's really gross. And then the Billy Bush tape happened and Trump was truly on his own. And Bannon was like, next debate, invite the accusers of Bill Clinton and put them front row. And Hillary Clinton all of a sudden barely even mentioned the Billy Bush tape. That's the energy we need. 2016 energy, not RNC 2020 energy where we sit in our hands and we lose comfortably. We're headed for a bad result, everybody. I'm telling you right now, we're heading for a bad result if management stays as it is. So look, I could go through ad after ad after ad, but in Virginia, Republicans lost for a lot of reasons, and it is partially the abortion question. But you can neutralize the abortion question if you had sophisticated political machinery. I fully acknowledge in states like Virginia, in states such as that, there are more people that want to be able to have abortion than not. But if we had sophisticated political machinery and we were able to at least punch back on these issues a little bit, we could neutralize it. We'd still probably lose on the issue a little bit, but we just completely surrender and run to the hills. Completely surrender and run to the hills. And Republicans have got to figure out how they're going to message. Again, if you had a strong RNC, why are they not putting together a messaging summit? Well, Ron is too busy attacking me. The RNC is too busy attacking Turning Point. Why would the RNC, this is something the RNC should do, put together a summit of all the best, and they would show up, convene the top messaging experts on social media. Bring in DC Drano, bring in Shapiro, bring in Candace Owens, bring in Cernovich, bring in Posobiec, bring in 10 or 12 people and figure it out. Bring in producer Andrew. Why is the RNC not doing this? By the way, we do this at Turning Point, but we don't have the convocation power that the RNC does. Use the brand. And then, by the way, publicly tweet it. Say, we're doing this thing and we're inviting big names and we hope you show up. People, of course, would show up. I would show up to that. I would suck it up. Not a fan of Rana. If Rana would have invited me to a messaging summit, I would have showed up because I want to win more than I think Rana's a loser. And by the way, I'd be like, okay, maybe she's doing something. Why? That's a good role. So it's not just the messaging on the abortion thing, but we have to acknowledge that Ohio sends a message that the Democrats are going to be able to go all in on the abortion issue. I've said it once. I'll say it again. If November of 2024 is solely a referendum on abortion, we are going to lose. We will lose the 2024 election. I say this as someone that is a pro-life enthusiast. Do we have to waver on the issue? No. Federally, you might have to say, I am not going to sign an abortion ban. Whatever you have to, the federal issue, you could just say, send it back to the states. And understand, the significance of losing means that we get Roe versus Wade back, and that would be a disaster. So we got to win. We got to figure it out. But if you had a strong party, you would also then be able. So you see this ridiculous, you know, pagan Barbie commercial of Molech, right? Of a bunch of degenerate 20-somethings that say, look what you made me do. Like very weird, like revenge-filled bitterness. It's like identity politics. It's all pink. It's very strange. We also, if we had political machinery, we would be able to maximize turnout for pro-life Catholics and pro-life Christians. If we had more money and more counter-programming that goes back to the RNC. And I'll say it once, I'll say it again. I guarantee you Taylor Swift gave permission for that advertisement. Taylor Swift is going to come out in the presidential election and she's going to mobilize her fans. I'll be nice. And we're going to be like, oh, wow, where did all these young female voters come from? We better have a plan for that. Taylor Swift, I think she put up one voter registration link and she registered millions and millions. And let's just be honest, all the Swifties want is Swift abortion. That's what they want. It's 100%. I don't know why it's so controversial. We act as if she's like Mother Mary or something. Let me, newsflash, she ain't Mother Mary. And people say, but Charlie, why would you attack Taylor Swift? She's so popular. She's all these different things. Trump said this. Well, I think it's terrible in 2016. If you go with Hillary is saying the ninth month, you could take a baby and rip the baby out of a womb of the mother just prior to the birth of a baby. Now, you could say that's okay, and Hillary can say that's okay, but it's not okay with me, because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going, where she's been, you can take baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month and final day, and that's not acceptable. Okay, so that's talking about late-term abortion. That's one of the ways that you can play offense on the bad guys. We got to figure it out, but it starts with leadership. We don't have a leader. We don't have an opposition party. We have a lot of smart people. We have a lot of patriots. We have a lot of capable people. And we have to have a total reset. Clean the house. And when our own party, when our own people, they're playing footsie with NBC News and celebrating it, fire them. Start over. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.